Let me double check. Okay, wait for that. They are probably dead in the door now.
Depending on when the last time church.
It would have been Thursday. I took a 3-day weekend and I took it off. I used my cell phone to check for emergency. Yeah, we're dead.
Yeah,
I brought the computer with me on my vacation, but
multi outlet drop. Did you get it off the sound system?
I would if we didn't fill up every single one of the break there.
Well, okay, you know, one of the board members is
try.
Freeze up a spot.
I don't know if they're going to reach. No, I'm going to have to get an extension cord.
Sorry.
Her power cord isn't long enough to reach right there. It's like about the middle of that table, so. I got time to get back on the right track.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Then we're good. So our choices are to do it either on the 12th or the 26th.
I thought we were going to do it the 12th.
We can do the 12th. I think Mr. Leslie may have a problem on the 12th. So, depending on whether or not after the 4th we have a new board member that we could swear in on the 12th, then we either may or may not have a quorum on the 12th.
Why would we do them there?
And maybe a different date.
If that's part of the district.
Yeah, but the job's here.
I know that. I've told him that. Well, he'd go either way. The email I just had from her was either the 5th or the 6th in Charter.
The what day?
5th or the 6th.
And I haven't even seen that one. The one I saw this morning was the 4th.
Okay.
let you all sort that out.
Double check.
But if they're going to be here and you need space, we need space here. If you need to do them in Sholo, my guess is she probably wants to do them in her offices. But if you need to use the campus, let me know and we'll get space.
Well, her office is supposed to be in Holbrook anyway.
It's no secret that that's applied, so I don't think it's
appropriate. I think her office.
I show you.
Is her actual office in Sholo or is it here?
Well, she doesn't come here, but.
Yeah.
The county seat is Hope.
Oh, I know.
So, I'll let you argue it out. Available.
Either way.
Whatever day you guys decide.
On that one I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last I saw was.
Okay. Going that way. Going this way. Right there.
It was the 4th. That was about 8 o'clock.
Keep
us
out of trip hazard.
Yeah. This one was at 8:50, so well, I have a look at that.
I hate it when I get the short chair. One of these chairs is like 6 inches lower than the other.
That one's tall.
I always feel like I'm sitting at the little kid's table when I get this chair. Paul's out of the room. I'm gonna switch chairs with him.
Well, we could do for you like we used to do for Jenny. If you wanted a cushion chair, you can stand up.
I can't sit up. Okay. This chair is not
good. How about
you? How about this chair? It's smaller. No, they're not. See?
Oh.
Efficient.
Oh.
If I was like 5'4", that would feel okay, but if I'm 6 feet tall, my knees are up in my head.
high order.
That's better. You did, okay. Something else I was looking at.
Yeah.
People have called in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I would say Monday. At some point, we have to just stop working on it.
Good morning. Do I have a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Back to old business. Not to call you old.
Mr. Chair, one note before we begin.
Yes.
We have not placed the White Mountain construction project on the work session because we have a discussion of that and an action item.
Okay.
Is that great?
Executive team
all of our strategic planning and steering committee, our assessment committee, and our instructional council. So again, these are all tentative schedule, and I will provide more updates as we come in.
All in 2 days? Is that what
a day and a half.
A day and a half.
Yeah, so what they're going to do is that because they have five team members, they're going to divvy up to have concurrent sessions. And again, the team chairs confirmed with me that there won't be any additional visit on other campuses and center education. All their new activities is going to be on this campus. Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing that do is to go over the HLC student opinion survey during our September retreat about the fact that they are having some results for us, so I want to walk the board through some of those results. HLC is the entity who designed this particular survey. And our role is basically sending out the survey through email to our students. And then this occurred in early September. And HLC collect all the survey results and send a report to us, and also at the same time to Higher Learning Commission's peer review team. So the results that they have sent to us, our review team also have access to it. The initial email address, email sent it out was to approximately 2,200 students. They collected 141 responses. That's equivalent to 6.4%. The response rate low, but at the same time, when we're looking at the demographic characteristics afterwards, it's comparable, you know, to our student population. We don't really see a major differences in terms of the representation. In the survey, students were asked to rate 15 statements on an agreement scale. So agreement scale is like strongly agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. So there are some statements here that I listed, like, the communication I received from the school about the overall enrollment process was clear. The students kept it like, well, I agree, or I strongly agree, or I don't have any opinion that's neutral. The school worked with me to identify an academic program that met my goals. Course required to complete my degree are available when I need to take them. So there are different aspects of the student experience when they go through their academic journey with us. There are questions related to our faculty, there are questions related to our registration process, placement process, financial aid process. And also there is a space for the student to provide open-ended comments. So the survey is simple. Basically it's asking about students' opinion about the college. And these are students that are currently enrolled with a college in the fall semester. So let's go through some of those results that are related to positive ratings. So positive ratings here referring to those students, or percentage of students who responded to those statements with a strongly agreed or agreed rating. And we have 7 out of 15 that have at least 80%. So 4 out of 5 students who respond to this survey saying good things about our college. So when you look at it, three of the statements actually showing above 85, or at least 85% of the positive rating. So the other one is like between 80 to 84.99. And some of those highlights can be like, you can see in the third statement, 87%, I was placed at the appropriate course level that match my academic preparation. So appropriate placement is important to them, and they agree with poor alcoholic friend. Another 87% is going to serve into the last statement here in this chart. Faculty who teach are knowledgeable about their subject area. So, good things about that. And then 80% of the students overall, they say that I am satisfied with my experience at the school. It's the same. Any questions about this? Now let's turn to something that kind of like from the student perspective, giving us some ideas about where the areas that the school needs to improve on. So three statements out of 15 received at least 15% negative rating. Mr. Leslie.
I toiled with the financial aid one, that question, because, well, we offer financial aid in a sense that we only offer a limited amount, like the FAFSA, the Pell Grant, but then I thought of the overall scheme of financial aid and other, like, student loans and stuff like that, and I don't know how to feel about this particular rating.
I can tell you how I feel about it. It is, the students are speaking to exactly what we've already identified as a problem. And I think most of the, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Yabreas, but I believe when you look at the qualitative student responses, you know, the open-ended responses, most of the concerns that they express about financial aid are not about the volume of aid,
mm-hmm.
they're about the process.
Oh, okay.
And the timing of the process, which, as we've been talking with the board for the last year about,
we're working on.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Because we're not there yet. We're still getting negative ratings.
Okay.
Yeah, that negative rating was the first time when I thought, well, this is not a positive event for us, but it presented an area that that we need to focus on and helping the HLC peer reviewers to understand where we are coming from.
And how many staff do we have in financial aid?
We're at 6 with 1 vacancy.
Okay.
And one of the things that I don't want to diverge too much from what you're working on, but Director Razor is now a certified peer reviewer for the Higher Learning Commission. He just got back from his training in Chicago, and he and I talked yesterday morning, and one of the things that he learned in his peer reviewer training that we need to do over the next month, and I think we can certainly do this for financial aid, is areas like this where we know where we've identified an issue and we're starting to work on it, but we haven't finished. You know, we haven't implemented everything that we need to implement to improve the process. We need to be able to show the team when they arrive in writing what we are working on and a timeline for completion. And that will give them a guide to ask new questions, to ask us questions about what else needs to be done to improve. So we'll be working on those documents over the next month and be prepared to hand them to the team when they arrive.
Part of the thing I see with this is it not some students saying, well, I want you to give me this much money, and when we say no or can't, they...
It's always possible. I mean,
I'm just curious.
Right, there's a low response rate on the survey, but Dr. Yabreas, I don't believe there weren't any individual student responses that said, I deserve A and I didn't get it.
No.
Okay.
Open-ended comment.
They were just saying the process.
The financial aid is the process.
I'm just curious. I wonder how many of these are students who were selected for verification that did not check their student email, because I know on my side of the house, they get frustrated with financial aid, and then I ask, well, were you selected for verification? Because they give you ample amount of time to reply and get with your school and provide those necessary documents. That's why I'm toiling with this. But yeah, it's a continuing process that we're working through.
The item, if the peer reviewers is going to focus on that particular area, we need to kind of clarify with a lot of the context that we are in right now. It could be an issue about providing students with more comprehensive information upfront so that the student can understand what is needed. To what extent we can reveal about our information, the information that we provide is clear to them, it's easy to access and less confusing. And then when they, and as they kind of get into that application process, to what extent we can actually help them through step by step. So it's entirely about the process. As President Vest mentioned about having developed a more detailed plan, as a matter of fact, financial aid process improvement is one of our strategic priorities. Last year, I mean, we're carrying on. So we already have something in place, some of the software, some of the structure, and Director Reza, you know, again, he just got back from the peer reviewer training, so it's going to help us to have a more concrete planning with a timeline and also some of the steps, the milestones laid out so for our peer reviewers to look at to give them confidence that we are tackling the issues properly. So other than the financial aid, we also have here and there about almost 20% of our response. Again, this is a relatively low response rate. They stated that they disagree with our process and related to course scheduling or availability. Generally, we have been, this area has been in our radar for a while, but we need to kind of revisit that. And then the last thing is that when I have the statement, when I have non-academic questions, I can reach someone who can help me in a timely way. Again, just to what extent our staff providing customer service appropriate ones and timely ones to our students, that's an important area as well. So we got to open-ended comments, areas with positive comments, focusing on our faculty, the knowledgeable in teaching available to our students, the class materials, and the technology advising. There are a couple of open-ended comments saying that the student received good advising from our advisor. We have good support services from our advisor and also faculty, communication through Moodle and my NPC. Negative one, again, is by reporting the rating. It has to do with registration process, financial aid process, and then also there are a couple of open-ended comments that are negative that are to focus on some academic advisors. So when we kind of step back and then look at the positive one and the negative one, perhaps an area for opportunity for improvement is that to make sure that the quality of our advising across all locations is consistent.
So I'm just curious, so first they said that we received positive comments on advising, and then we received inconsistent service quality of advisors. So I guess my question is there a consistent training that each advisor receives so that they're receiving consistency across the board in terms of the quality of services that they provide to our students? I don't know if that's, I'm directing it at you because this is your, but I know it's other people in the school that need to answer that question.
So my understanding from working with the Director of Student Services is that there is inconsistent training in our advisors right now, but he is actually in the process of creating a Moodle shell that lays out consistent training for the advisors. So it's one of those in process but not implemented yet. It does look very impressive. He's aligned it with some best practices with NICADA, which is the National Advising Training Organization. He does do a really great job of bringing them together once a month for collaboration, but I do think the work on consistent training is under development at this point.
Okay, thank you.
And we could always add an evaluation component associated with that to make sure that after the training is being provided, to what extent the advisor actually maintains a consistent quality when they are advising the student. And the last one has to do with staff happiness and responsiveness. Again, this is an area that we need to kind of like look into, and then not just in particular department, but across the board, because there are so many different department and units is having direct interaction with our students. So it could be related to campus, center location, library, registration office, financial aid office. So these areas very broad, and we will probably need to kind of go back and then look into it, targeted particular areas so that we can set up some improvement plan to work on. Okay, so far, do you have any questions related to the student opinion survey report? Okay. Let's dive into some of the criteria. This is the, I don't know if this is going to be the last work sessions or the second to last.
Well, that will be up to the board later in the meeting because we will have to reschedule the November board meeting, and it will, depending on the board's decision, either fall before or after the visit.
Okay. So today what we're going to do is focus on criteria two, because in my phone conversation with the HLC preview team chair, he emphasized criteria two. So I'm just kind of following. He mentioned about criteria two, and he said, well, I want to make sure that the board is aware of what is criteria two about. Criteria two is about integrity. So topic that we always go back to often, and then but here I'm going to just lay out some of the core components associated with that. 2A here, you can see the this is kind of like a standard or expectation from HLC. The institution operates with integrity in its financial, academic, personnel, and auxiliary functions. That's one thing. So it's like operate across all areas. And then it also says it establish and follow policy and process for fair and ethical behavior on the part of its government or administration, faculty, and staff. So, focusing on, do we have a policy? Do we have any process? Do we follow them? Are those policy and process help us to act with fairness and ethical behavior across all different groups within the college? So the question here is that, can you do that? I mean, as we reflect upon the history of our college, especially the last 10 years, to what extent do we operate that? So let me ask for some examples during your tenure as a board member. What policies and processes that you can think of, that is in your mind?
To that end, to my colleagues on the board, if you haven't read the Rogue Trustee material, I've been reading it on and off, and it really led me to a lot of self-reflection. I'm like, I better not be the Rogue Trustee. So it's really good, so that's just my little plug-in.
I was about to kind of like cite it as an example. It's like a really good read. So just want to encourage the board as the upcoming visit is coming, and they may have questions related to that. And then, but more specifically, like, well, it's almost like you can basically give that example. Most recently, during September, that the board received training on this particular issue is a good reminder of what the board and how the board should behave. And in helping the college in that. So, and there is another component, core component 2C. This one is specifically for the board. The governing board of the institution is sufficiently autonomous, so that's key word here, to make decisions in the best interest. Another key concept here that the BBBO team is going to focus on of the college and to assure its integrity. Okay. So under the core component, the HLC criteria listen that the subcomponent. And under 2C, we have four. So I'm just kind of put a point here. This four not necessarily a fixed standard, but it's like what HLC expects under this 2C4 component. Roughly what they will look at, to what extent the board deliberation during board meeting reflects priority to preserve and enhance the college. So that fits into limit decisions in the best interest of college during the deliberation. So the question is, do we have any examples associated? Can we give some example recently to emphasize that? Is it only in the area of fiscal priorities or some other areas that we can give examples? The other suggestions that they here kind of look into the guidelines that review and consider reasonable and relevant interests of internal external constituencies during deliberation. So again, it's like what extent are we doing this? What are some of the internal and external constituencies doing the board's deliberation on various topics? Can we think of them? Yeah.
Well, internal, I think of all the committees that report to us, the SPACY, the HR, and I'm going blank. Hold on, I have my agenda right here. So
and
just these, yeah, yeah.
Any recommendation, like you, NCC, Friends and Family, all those groups. So you have written reports, you have verbal reports. What topics, when they're talking about certain topics, can you think of some internal constituency? Can you think of some external ones during those deliberations?
Like, for example, you all represent geographic areas with specific populations.
It's how, at the time, when they ask questions like that, how are we going to articulate? Make sure that we have some, at least have some example. They may ask you something that is not necessarily within the realm of our college, maybe because they only have access to our assurance arguments. So at some point you may want to kind of be a little bit proactive, saying that, you know, whatever topics that they ask, like, well, we don't really have an FA program. Like what we do have is this, and during this deliberation when we have discussion during the board, we consider the interests of this group, this group, this group. And then when we are making decisions, we are aware of that. So something to think about. Third one, preserve its independence from undue influence when such influence not in the best interest of the college. So they are When we're looking at independence for undue influence here, it can be quite a lot, but the focus is on whether it's for the best interest of the college. During the time when the board is making decisions, to what extent we are actually seeing that the board is independent of any type of other influence that are not working for the best of the college. So again, any example associated with that. And then lastly is delegate day-to-day management to administration and expect faculty to oversee academic management. So here the board may ask indirect questions to prompt the board for information that are related to what is it, a particular board member or other board interfere with day-to-day management. Do we ask the CVIC how the college handles the civic personnel or group of staff, that will be likely to consider stepping a little bit overboard and not necessarily letting the college to handle that particular portion. So that goes back to policy and procedures that are associated with what the board should do, the board's responsibility. Again, any example that you can think of may help to kind of answer the questions should they arise. Any questions at this point?
I guess what I'm looking for is these things that are written down are written by the staff. If I was the staff and I was writing it, I would put favorable things in it. And this is what it is. What I'm looking for is somebody from the outside, from Phoenix or Los Angeles or Albuquerque, come in here and say, this is what's going on here. This is what the board needs to do to correct those things that need correction. Just a comment.
Well, the student survey that we just did was not by us, obviously. That was by current students. But I think the upcoming visit from the Higher Learning Commission is going to do exactly, Mr. Peaches, what you've asked for. That's a group of five people from outside the college coming in to talk to you as a board, to talk to many groups within the college, but also to talk to people from the community, because there will be community sessions, as Dr. Yabreas already said. And then they'll provide us with a comprehensive written review of how the college measures up to all of these criteria. And it will be the administration's responsibility, the college's responsibility, but also the board's responsibility to evaluate that and decide how we're going to make changes based on the review that we get from that outside group. I don't know if that helps answer your comment. But Mr. Chair, I think we're out of time.
Thank you for your time.
Mr.
Leslie's
come back
again.
Yes.
We have to wait, though.
We've got people waiting outside, looking in the door.
Navajo Community College.
Ah, okay, okay. Because I remember Daniel Peaches that my boss used to work for, Herb Snyder and Don Gadbury.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those guys
yeah.
at all? Okay, you do? Okay, very good.
If you'll excuse me, we have
yep,
to...
Yep.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Oh, sorry. Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Okay, if you'll all join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, is there a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
I have a quick question. I imagine you'll be giving us an update on the vacancy in your president's
report. I will.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adopted the agenda. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment? None? All yours.
Good. Our first report is financial position on a monthly basis, and I'll turn the time over to Vice President Thomas.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Last month, we talked about the fact that the state of Arizona had given us a late appropriation for additional rural funding that we did not get until after we had completed our budget. So for the month of, I guess this is on a year-to-date basis through August, I am showing that additional rural funding as a reclass item on this particular page in the general fund. So we have an additional $889,200 coming in. However, because we are not able to adjust the full budget, I have to take that from another couple of lines to make it back to zero, the impact back to zero anyway. So I have completely eliminated the investment earnings. And although the budget will show zero, you all are aware that we are coming in with interests that are fairly high for us. You will also see grants and contracts that have been reduced by about $700,000 to $1.3 million. That particular line, depending upon the year, comes anywhere from $1.5 million to $2 million. So it will probably exceed that, but again, I had to be able to come up with the line of this was shown. We never want to address our primary tax levy, never want to address or reduce our state appropriations, and so I'm left with a couple of smaller lines. So this is not an action item, but going forward on a monthly basis, you will see these revised budget numbers. Okay? So on a year-to-date basis for our financials, we are 2 weeks in. We have July and August. We are exactly where we anticipate we would be. We have received a small amount of money for primary tax levy, but the month of September is when we see our first big incoming amount for property taxes. Very little activity in the other areas. State appropriations are given to us on a quarterly basis, and we've already received first so it won't be until October where we receive second quarter. So we're 13% into our proposed budget for revenues and expenditures or home. Our unrestricted plan, this is the year that we've got the capital expenditures for White Mountain facility, and that's $12.5 million. We have not spent any of those funds yet, but we will start to see some smaller numbers trickling in next month. We have hired our construction manager, and we have an agenda item later today to address here. On the restricted and auxiliary funds, we have already dispersed our first financial aid for the fall. We are on a reimbursement basis, so we have not received those funds yet. They're expected to come in through the September financials. And so you will see that although we've only got 3% of revenue, we've spent about 18% of our expenses, and that is that helpful financially. On auxiliary, we've got 8% of revenues, 8% of expenditures. That offset includes $10,000 of transfers. And as I had mentioned before, we are where we expected to be. We've got total cash flows of $4.2 million, with outflows of $5 million, putting us in a negative cash perspective for these first 2 months at $844,000. But last year at this time, we were closer to $1 million. In fact, we're a little bit over. So this won't turn around until we get our first property tax revenue. And so the chart again shows you what we've received so far on an August year-to-date perspective. The current year activity is this dark blue square here, and it's in line with what we've seen for the last 5 years. September, we'll start to see it go up, and October will be the biggest month. Okay? Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Our next report is from NPC Friends and Family, and Director Wilson is here today.
Thank you, President Vest. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I missed you all right after Petal the Petrified, so my first report is to let you know that this is our best net we've ever had. I reported to the newspapers that we brought in a little under $34,000 when we went to press, and we had a number of fundraisers this year. We're doing a little bit better every year on getting people to raise funds and get people to sponsor them. I just received another $500 yesterday, so we are now a little over $35,000 in net proceeds from Petal the Petrified, so very excited about that. It's been another really good event. We got nothing but very positive responses in our survey that we sent out to the writers, so we'll be looking forward to next year. We also finished our audit. I have not included our audited financial statements because those are going to be provided when the college does its full audit report, but we had another clean audit for NCC Friends and Family, and you'll see that we've had some good growth again this year. We're growing pretty nicely every year. We have opened up our fall scholarship competition for NCC Friends and Family Scholarships. It opened the 1st of October with a deadline of November 8th at noon Mountain Standard Time. And I've already received some applications, but I'm going to be teaching my scholarship workshop over the Video 2 system to anyone who wants to attend this Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. So any campus or center, you can go into the Video 2 classroom and take part, and I'll be talking about how to develop a scholarship essay and how to do a basic scholarship search. And I also want to give a plug because Student Government Association isn't here, but this Saturday from 10 to 2 p.m. here on the Painted Desert campus in Holbrook, SGA and a lot of us from the college are going to be putting on Eagle Fest. And so this is an opportunity to come and learn about the college's programs, get tours of this campus. Ernie Eagle will be on hand. We will have Ernie's pumpkin carving activity. And so the whole community is welcome, and anybody, you don't have to be from Holbrook, anybody can come and check that out. So that's my report going forward. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
What time does the event start? 10
o'clock.
Okay.
So it's from 10 to 2, and there's free food, there's hot dogs and drinks, and all ages are welcome. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. President Shackley of the Faculty Association called us this morning and said she'd be unable to attend, so there's no report from the Faculty Association. She's going to show you a PowerPoint, I believe, Paul, that she wanted to use today. She'll do that in the way. Our next report is a council report from Rebecca Hunt, the new president of CASA.
Hello, Board. Thank you so much for allowing me to come here and present to you today. CASA is actually very busy as of late. We are in the middle of elections, and we've actually even been looking at our current bylaws. We had a subcommittee going through those to make sure that everything's up to date as needed. With the elections, we're looking, we have a lot of vacancies, especially with our representatives, with the delegates, and VP vacancy and treasurer. So it's kind of a big thing right now that we're focusing on. But the next big thing that we're really looking at and we're wanting to push through CASA is professional development. So we have several different ideas that we are looking at for that. Adding it to our retreat, as well as maybe having it be something that's kind of a more consistent theme. That's about it for now. Any questions for me?
Thank you. As noted, we have no representation from the Student Government Association today. You have a written report on human resources, and I know Director Reger is here if you have any questions about the HR report. Hearing none, Mr. Chair, you can move on to the consent agenda.
Okay. Do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. We have no old business. The first item of new business, the first two items actually, are both Vice President Ellison, so I'll turn the time over to her.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first request that we have, first action item that we want to address with the board is a request to award a contract for welding equipment and supply. As we have been working and revising our purchasing procedure, one of the things that we are addressing is the need for how to handle aggregate purchases that exceed $50,000. And so the college, under the direction of the controller, did an RFP this last July, August timeframe, and put out the RFP to go ahead and solicit bids for purchases of welding equipment. Over the last several years, we've been spending anywhere from $80,000 to $250,000.
Is this equipment or supplies?
It is primarily supplies, but there are smaller equipment included in there. But we spend anywhere from $250,000, and so we did the RFP. We have two vendors who submitted proposals on the large number of supply types that we have included in that RFP. We have a group of individuals within the college who did the evaluation of the RFP, representing not only the faculty, but also the business office, as well as the dean's office, and certainly purchasing. And so through that evaluation, the selected vendor was Century Fire. And so this is a request to identify Century Fire as the vendor of choice for these types of equipment and supplies, including gases. So the two vendors that did submit proposals besides were Century Fire, who is the vendor that's been identified as the most qualified, as well as Craxair, who we had, both of these vendors we had used in the past, and but primarily Craxair. It is a one-year annual contract to renew for 4 additional years, so for a total of 5 years.
Not to change, will we be seeing others similar contracts for from other departments?
You will see additional RFP requests for services and or purchases that exceed the $50,000. The next one on the list is taking a look at our security systems.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
We'll move.
Second.
The motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And I just wanted to a quick shout out to our folks who did on worked on this. It's the first time we've done this. And so our purchasing manager is sitting out here somewhere. I think there he is. So, you know,
well, hiding back there.
Did a lot of work and effort on this as well as on controller. And
he always told me he unloaded trucks.
Aha.
Other duties
as a side. Thank you very much. The next item is something that the college has worked on for some time, and what we have before you is the request to award contract to update the master facilities plan. Again, the college to put out a request for qualifications for an architectural firm. We had a couple of six architectural firms that responded to this, and SPS Plus was the firm that was identified as the most qualified based on our evaluation process. And the first phase of the work at the White Mountain Campus in Sholo was to update our master facility plan. Phase two would be to move forward with construction in the Skills Center and possibly concurrently doing that with the new educational building, and then doing renovations to our existing learning center that has some structural issues. And then following that up with minor, or maybe not minor, but smaller renovations and two or existing buildings on the Sholo campus. What we have before you is that first phase of the work to update the master facility plan. And we have Mr. Bob Pian and others from SPS Plus in the audience if there are very specific questions. But the recommendation from the staff is to award the contract to SPS for $188,600. And we received the original work or estimate from SPS Plus in the amount of $234,170. However, as we evaluated and looked at what was included in that amount, there was an estimate for $25,000 related to a market study. The staff looked that over, solicited some input from other community colleges who had recently done this market study for their respective areas. The conclusion was that we could get economic information from existing sources. We certainly felt that we knew about our community, Apache and Navajo County, and decided that the market study probably isn't as relevant to us at this stage. The other option in here was that it included the Kienta Center. Kansas Center is on the Navajo Nation, and we lease a modular building there to provide our services. And so it was not included in the 2012 study, and at that point, we had gone ahead and considered adding it, but we do have to get special requests from the township, and although there may still be some activities that happens at that location, decided it did not need to be included in the updated master facility plan. And so option one includes the estimate as provided by SPS Plus. Option two excludes the market study, which would have brought this down to $209,170. What staff is proposing is option three, exclude the market study, exclude Kienta, bringing that total estimated cost to $188,600. And that is the action item.
I have a question. I don't remember. I'm trying to look at my notes from our board retreat. But what was the plan for Kayanta? Was it we were going to reach out and have set up a meeting, right?
We have a meeting scheduled in November. Vice President Allison and I will be traveling to Kayanta to meet with the township council.
And so, based on that, there may be more opportunities for
okay. Since we discussed this at our last retreat, do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Again, Mr. Bob Keane is out of the audience. If there's anything you'd like to ask of him. Introduce yourself real quickly.
I'm Bob Keane from SPS Plus. I'm really excited to be here with my colleague Neil Pratt. We are ready to turn over the rocks and get a look to see what's going on so we can update the master plan. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. You're starting right after lunch then.
We don't have to wait for lunch. Thank you.
They really are starting, I think, taking a little visit. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. The next item on the agenda is a request to approve network router lifecycle replacement. Staff recommends approval to purchase Cisco network routers in accordance with our budgeted lifecycle schedule for the current fiscal year. This is a budgeted item. The total price to the vendor is $111,059.45. We have also included 3% tax to the overhead. And this is a competitive purchasing agreement that's been evaluated by the purchasing manager's office through a national contract.
I have a quick question. Why are we paying sales tax to Holbrook when we buy it somewhere else?
I will let the controller and purchasing manager and the vice president for admin services address that question.
Go ahead.
Just big session.
Pardon?
We're required as an end user, regardless of whether we're NTC or an individual, that when we purchase it from some other place, like an internet purchase, that we are still required to use tax for that.
But are we paying sales tax to their end?
No, we don't. So if a company were to be in a different state and they did not charge us their state sales tax. Well, if they did charge us their state sales tax, that would be that. We are required to pay ours when there is no charge.
When they don't charge us. Okay, just making sure.
And we have representatives from IS management here as well to answer any questions about the routers if you have
them. Anybody? Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Could we just clarify the motion, please? I don't
know. Okay. I motion to request to approve the network router's lifecycle replacement as presented.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. Our next item is the review of the component unit financial audits for NPC Friends and Family and the Northeast Arizona Training Center. I'll turn the time over to Vice President Ellison.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're also going to take these together. The component units for the college do include MPC Friends and Family and Northeast Arizona Screening Center. This is based on the county guidance. We have guidance that basically says we will show these as separate identifying entities, although they're included in the financial statements that are going to be issued later in November. And as a result, we have to have them audited, and every year they are audited. This year, as in the last several years, we've had Brian Richards out of Snowflake perform those audits, and he completed those at the end of September. Both audits were giving an unmodified opinion, which means essentially that there is no material misstatements, nothing has to be modified, and it's what we commonly refer as to the clean audit. So both of those are in good standing. They are both separate action items. MPC Friends and Family have their assets tied up in market securities and investments for the scholarships that they prepare. NATC has most of their assets included in the land as well as the training center out in Taylor. And so both of those are being handled properly, no misstatements, no issues to bring forward in terms of findings. And both are action items.
Actually, both are information items.
Thanks for the clarification. Sorry. Do you have any questions about the audits that we perform or are performed? There's a lot of work that goes into it, and again, the business office handles these every single year, and Lauren Nestis takes the lead in making sure that the audits are done properly. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Hearing no questions, our next item is a follow-up from the recent board retreat. At that time, the board requested some additional information about NATC. I'll turn the time over to Vice President Clark.
Thank you. So as requested, I have included a summary of all of our due paying members for NATC, and then I also included a note of any outstanding dues. We do have one outstanding due from last year, and we're going to rebill them. That is the Holbrook Police Department. For this current year, we've just recently sent out the billings, so we have them trickling in, but they have yet to officially be logged in for the current academic year, but those are out. Any questions on that?
So in other words, everybody paid last year?
Everybody paid.
How many paid in cash?
I don't know that.
See, because I see the in-kind, and I don't really, I think it's to their benefit. I'd like to know who paid in cash and who paid in kind.
Oh, dues is all paid. Dues is all paid in cash.
Yeah.
So dues are all paid.
These are all in kind donations. These are actual.
Then what are we talking about when I looked in here when it says in kind? Or was it in the audit?
They tend to vary year by year in terms of what's in kind. They can be the most recent one that comes to mind is the shooting range. We had people come out there and help actually move the dirt to create the shooting range. And so we did not pay anyone to actually do it. They just provided the services. Specifically to the most current year, we'd have to have actually look at the specifics behind that. And I don't have that detail here.
Next month?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, our next, oopsie. Go ahead.
Any
I have one other update for NATC, and that is a construction update. I wanted to thank the board for their questions the last time I brought the construction plans to the board, because those questions allowed the NATC board to go back and revisit the bigger picture. So we have done that, and we've come up with a plan moving forward to look at the big picture master plan, and I have set before you our timeline for moving forward, and NATC plans to bring back a request for release of funds in January once we go out for the appropriate sets of a bid for the development of a master plan. So we have laid that out. Are there any questions on how the NATC board plans to proceed?
I know one of the big issues was parking. Is that, I mean, obviously, we only met, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago? And I was just curious if you had anything on that.
I have nothing on it, but I will say we will have that addressed in the master plan development stage, which is what we're going to go out for bid for.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our last item of new business is to address the November board meeting date. We are scheduled under the regular board meeting schedule to meet during the Higher Learning Commission team visit. That obviously won't work. So the board will need to move the regular board meeting date. The two real options are probably November 12th or November 26th. I believe board member Leslie may have had a timing issue with November 12th.
Is there anything you can get out of? Because I'd rather meet before.
That's my travel day. Unless
travel?
Yeah. I won't be available that day.
Or we could, the board could choose to meet on a different day of the week.
How about the 13th?
Board member Leslie, would you be available by phone if you're on travel?
Yeah, I should, yeah, I'll be available by phone.
Okay. Peaches, does November 13th work as a board meeting day for you? That would be a Wednesday.
I don't see any problem.
Okay. It looks like we've settled on the 13th, Mr.
And are we still going to have our pre-board meeting?
That's why I was trying to have it before.
Your last chance to discuss accreditation, yes. And we'll address this in just in a few minutes, but we may or may not, ideally we will, but may or may not have a replacement for the vacant board seat at that time as well. Okay, this is an action item. So,
do I have a motion for to move the board meeting to the 13th?
I motion to move the November board meeting to November 13th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move to standing business. Our first item is a report from the Strategic Planning and Accreditation Steering Committee. I believe Amber Hill from the committee is here today. Battery, I don't believe it will display properly if you need to get it up.
Oh,
it is that one. Okay, ignore me.
Kim, can you have a PowerPoint, please?
And we'll go ahead and move forward, and just we'll wait for that to pop up for everybody else. We're just excited to be here today because a lot of the time, as far as the business office, we don't get to impact students positively directly, and so any chance that we get to have a positive interaction with students is pretty exciting for us. So what we're reporting on this morning, is the student improvement student experience initiative that the board approved for last year's FACE priority. And as part of that, there were three prongs, and we have a team, and we'll give them the appropriate credit. The first of which was to implement a web-based payment system. And the second was to enhance and implement the online registration process. And we'll talk about the challenges and complications that we have with that and have with that. And the third is to enhance the student support delivery. And each of these is a different phase in the process. Well, I broke it. Okay. So, thank you, Mataria. I may or may not use it successfully on the second test. All right, so the first is the implementation of the web-based payment system, and this one seemed to go pretty seamlessly for a couple different reasons. One is we had a lot of third-party support
We actually had our third-party payment system, which is Nelnik. Remember that? Just remember the third-party payment system. They were requiring us to move platforms, which basically means we had to jump through a bunch of hoops to change because they're changing. The good news is it was better for our students. So that piece of it is actually already done. We successfully implemented online payments on March 19th, 2019 for the summer registration period. It was on time and on budget. It cost $10,000 to integrate with the student account system. Students can now see their accounts in real time when they make their payments. Clearly, since that is a change, it was not available prior. $4,000 of that cost was offset by the third party, since they were forcing us to do this mandatory migration. So they offset that to some degree, that one-time cost. And then we have an ongoing $400 monthly payment that we are required to do. I want to make sure I'm on this. Sorry. So, first piece of, right away, we saw some fruits of this labor. So over $30,000 or 143 different payments were received online, and that is through today since opening four prior period payments. So since we opened while the spring semester was already going on, some of those were for spring, but students no longer had it, and the alternative before was to call the business office or walk into a campus. So now students could do it from where they were. They went online, and $30,000 was received due to that. And you can see that this is a screenshot from the actual program. And two things that I want to point out to you. As we go through the different semesters, look at the difference. Look at the difference between the payment plan and the actual payment as we go from one semester to the next. So we started during one semester, and that only picked up the current time and prior. So the first semester, we actually got to see the delineation between payments and payment plans and just how many students were affected and a difference in the phone calls was summer. So 117 students have used Nelnet to pay for summer 2019, totaling almost $105,000 total. 70% of those students use the ePay, and the difference between the ePay and the other type is that ePay is just you make a payment, just like you would anywhere. Check it out. 30% of those students use the payment plan at $32,000. So take a look at those percentages, 30 and 70, because you're going to see that in the next semester as well. Mine also, summer is half rate. Okay, so fall of 2019, we have 703 students using Nelnet or the online payment program, and totaling $357,000. Again, I want to point you to the payment plan versus the one-time payment. We have 70% of our students that are paying online that are making payment plans. That's our demographic, okay? We're going to round up to 31. So 69% use that to make their payment plan, or $247,000. All right. So then we did a survey because it's one thing to implement something, and it's potentially entirely something else from the other perspective, right? So we wanted to know what students thought about it. So we surveyed only first-time users, and that population at the time, so we did this at the beginning of the fall semester. And at the time, the population size was over 80, and the return is disappointingly low, it's only 8. So I tell you that because the numbers I think are pretty good, but I have to be honest and transparent and tell you, okay, we had 8 respond in the survey. But 75% found it easy to navigate, and these are their words. 75%
to navigate from the web page to the payment page. So that is talking about the NPC published website. And the second thing statistic is they found it easy to navigate from their MyNPC page to the payment portal. And 75% found it to be user-friendly. All of them, all eight of them, asserted that the payment process was quick, and that they prefer, 75% prefer the online payment process to calling in their credit payments. Other positive feedback that we received was, quote, the new payment system is an improvement from the old one. It was easy to access, and that the payment was fast, and it could be done in approximately 5 minutes.
I have a question. I know there were just eight of them, but I was curious to know what the other two students, what they were said when it, if they didn't say it was easy.
Yeah.
Was it open-ended, or did you have them?
So on that top part, they had five, right? So strongly agree, agree, disagree, strongly disagree. So I will say that none of them strongly, of the two that aren't in the 75%, none of them were in the strongly disagree. In fact, they were either on any of these questions in the disagree or the neutral. And so it was pretty clear that one of them was just, maybe an unhappy individual, or maybe they had a really bad experience. It's possible. But that what that tells me is that, there are always things that we can do to improve. And before I do leave this first topic, one of the things that we are actively looking at to improve this process is where can we place that pay button that makes the most sense. And so that leads us to the registration portion, which is, by the way, the logical place for that payment button to be at the end of the registration process. All right. So next was the web-based registration, and this was really eye-opening for all of us. I should say eye-opening for those of us who aren't in records and registration. I had no idea there were so many ways to register. I had no idea how cumbersome it was for staff and for students. And which is why this is a focus. So the need for the project is students online. We need to be meeting them where they are. This isn't going to change. It's just going to get more complicated. There are currently multiple ways to register at NPC, in person on paper, over the phone, on MyNPC, or via a web form that, in turn, still gets manually entered by staff. So that's not for all students, that's for new students. So currently only existing students can register on MyNPC. So you can't, as a new student, enroll and register for classes quickly, okay? So we perceive that as an issue as an institution. Together and inventoried the process, I should say processes, for registration, which of course we found out were multiple. And there are reasons why there are multiple methods of registration. There are different categories of students and they have different needs. By December, we had assessed our current ERP, its capabilities, what it could and couldn't do as it was. And in January through April, the goal was to update our test server, and that actually is something that happens all the time, or I should say ongoing. It's not technically all the time. We have to schedule it, set it aside, and make sure our test server is up to date. Most importantly, we want it up to date when we begin testing. And one thing that did move off the timeline, or it's not off the timeline, we just moved it forward, was developing the communication plan for the go live. And the reason that we moved that is we're just not there yet. We don't have the data ready because we're not done developing. We're not done designing. this online process. So, moving forward, the May through October was implement the MyNCC portal application. What that means is the student size, but that's already registered students. So our big push is enrolling students. How do we more quickly get them in the system so they can register? Everything's connected to a student ID. So once they apply, they get a student ID, and then they can register. But that little gap in the second step is a biggie. And that's really where a lot of our challenges lay, and we are still working on them. So once we do overcome the majority of those challenges, then we'll develop that communication plan and we have something solid to convey to the students. All right, so we're in October. So our timeline now is November through March, and that's a number of months, but we want to test and correct the errors in a safe environment and ensure security. Two things here. Our safe environment kind of comes back to the test server. We have to have a secure test server. We have to have it with current data. And it has to have the format that we need it to have. And we need to be able to upload student information, student documents, confidential information in a secure environment. And those are challenges right now. So those are the challenges we are currently working on. The goal is to be able to overcome those by March. January through March, our plan is to be testing those in the test environment. 3 months is a long time to test, but it is really important that we get that right, because we don't want to go live just to get shot down and start over. We want it to work when we go live. So we're going to test the heck out of it. And then the plan is April 2020, we go live for the beginning of fall 2020 registration. So that's the plan. Any questions on that?
I'm really excited. And obviously I'll let you finish, but when can we get an update? I'm so excited about this, and that we're moving in a good, in that direction.
Exactly.
So I do want an update at some point.
After the first of the year, January?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, when we're in.
Full agenda.
All right. Did I leave anything out that you can think of on the other spaces? Okay. All right, so the final piece is the expanded enhancing student support delivery using online technology. Again, students are online, they're doing their homework in an environment where they may or may not even have an actual desktop. So the timeline for this project, and I am going to give you some variations here. So we have an original timeline, but the fact is that this project, this piece of the project, connects to the registration piece, and it also connects to the guided pathways piece. So you could call this a dependent project. And so what has been done, the original timeline was January 2019, Assess for chat advising. March or April would be determine the feasibility of integrating online chat with the registration process. In June, design and test those functions. And then July or August, go live. That was the original plan. You can just forget about that. So the revised timeline is yes. We did assess for the online chat function, and we said, we don't think this is relevant to students. We think that texting is more relevant to students. And so we just shifted gears. And I'm going to let Josh just correct me anytime he wants to, because this is his aspect.
It's a work in progress, all of it. So.
Yeah.
We'll see how it ends up.
And the fact could be that we need to stay, nimble, flexible as an institution, because students are, and they are so technologically connected that we have to be that connected to be relevant. So they assessed that. They said, well, we're done with that. We're past that. We're on a text now. marketing was the way to go, and in marketing have already begun the text movement. Have you already done an update on the text with the
No.
Okay. So you'll probably hear more about that later. I know we've already, that's how we sent out our survey, was via text to the students. So we're really excited to be reaching them at a venue, a media that they actually pay attention to. So December 19th through February 20th, ideally that will fall in line with the same timeline as the registration design. So we're going to integrate that texting for advising and support into the registration piece. March, design and test texting. April through August, go live with the registration piece and plug into the guided pathways and where they are at in your project. Any questions on student support?
I have several. I'm really, really excited that we're going in that direction. And kudos to everyone who has been a part of this. But I was wanting to know, what tech system platform are you guys using to are you guys wanting to use, I should say, since it's still in timeline?
So we're using a system called SignalLine.
Okay.
That system is not necessarily integrated with what she's doing yet, although it probably will be. But currently I'm just getting started.
Can that same system be used to help students with financial aid? Like, hey, you've been selected for a verification, get your behind to financial aid and turn those documents in?
Yeah.
Okay. And then my next question, a big part of this looks like advising, and it goes back to my original concern about the inconsistency of training. So I feel like both go hand in hand. And so I would also like an update on the advising piece in the near future, and hopefully we can get something consistent for the sake of our students, because at the end of the day, it's all about them, and I would love to see these two, this, what you're proposing, and then the advising come into line, and then we can go from there. But again, kudos to everyone that's been a part of this. I'm excited about it.
Thank you. And just real quickly, and super humble over here, the texting platform that she set up, the few of us from each department, advising business office, we have access and we can text the students from our financial aid, et cetera. So we just coordinate so we don't bombard the students three times or, whatever.
And that's a work in progress.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I do just want to, as I said, I want to give credit to the team, because every single one of these individuals is excited, is engaged. Josh Rogers, Jeremy Razor, Dina Gillespie, Jason LeBue, Judy Brand, Kip Welch, Eric Madrid, and myself. And we're just super excited to move this team forward.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. That's kind of a laundry list in the president's report. Chair Lucero, would you prefer to update on board position during the board report page, or would you like me to do that now?
Do the what?
The update on the vacant board position. Would you like to do that during the board report? Or would you like me to do that now?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Sure. We have, I can tell my part, and then if you'd like to add on, you can. Superintendent of Schools Gerlach has posted the vacancy per statute, and she has informed me that she has at least three applications
down to two.
We're down to two. Okay, do we have two applications? And my understanding is she's looking at setting up interviews the first week of November, date to be determined.
Correct.
So hopefully, if you have a board meeting now scheduled on the 13th, we may have the position filled in time to swear someone in at the board meeting on the 13th prior to the commission visit. But that's to be determined. At the recent board retreat, we updated the board on the payroll issue that we identified that affected a number of employees. I'll be taking that to an upcoming leadership council meeting with the vice presidents to work with people across the college on improving our payroll process. I have a teleconference tomorrow. This will be my first conversation with the chair of the visiting team from HLC. Up to this point, he's been communicating with Dr. Diabreas primarily, but I have a 30-minute conversation with him tomorrow. If there's anything that affects the board's interaction with HLC that comes out of that visit, I'll update you in my weekly board report. We will very soon, we're missing a couple of evidence items, and I think Vice President Ellison has one piece of information that she wants to talk through with Dr. Diabreas. Once we've done that, we will finalize and lock the assurance argument. And once we have locked the assurance argument, we will send it out to the entire college, including the board, for review of the final document. On Thursday, Rennell Heister, who is the director of the Talent Grant Funded Project, has a consortium meeting with area school superintendents. She'll be talking with them about a revised pricing structure that we have based on new technology. And we'll also be demonstrating that new technology. And I want to thank Curtis Stevens, who's in the back, and his staff for pulling together very quickly a demonstration of that technology for superintendents if they choose to take advantage of it on Thursday. I also want to thank Curtis. He represented the college at an ASU event with the ASU provost, I believe, on Saturday, Curtis. I hope that went well. Good. I will be in Phoenix next week for the monthly meeting of the community college presidents, and we're going to be continuing our discussion there of how to address expenditure limits in the upcoming legislative session and other items. I'll also be representing all of the community colleges in the state at an upcoming teacher shortage process meeting that Superintendent Hoffman has scheduled. And you may have seen this already, but we recently were visited by representatives from Cisco Technologies. We're using Cisco's equipment in about half of our distance education classrooms at present. We were recommended to Cisco by Lance Ford, who is one of their education technology experts in the United States, as a cutting-edge leader in using this kind of technology for educational environments. So we actually had a visit from Cisco staff who are working on developing, what's the best way to phrase it, Curtis and others, the next set of technologies that they will adapt and adopt to the Cisco environment. They were very impressed. Curtis and Dr. Clark and others escorted them around, and they are planning, I believe, to come back later to do a video of the college as a success story for using this kind of equipment to improve student access and equity of student access in remote areas. So I'd like to thank everybody involved, not just in that day, but in the very long process. This has been a long process for information services staff, for faculty, for instructional administration, for support staff, everybody involved in making that process happen. That's all I have for today. Thank you.
I think we have all the informational needs covered already. We already asked, so that's good. Anybody have anything to say about their district area, community affairs? Nobody's talking. Our next meeting is the 13th. Excuse me. And so, in that case, this is going to be one of our shorter meetings.
Yes, it is.
Do I have a motion for adjournment, or does everybody want to stay longer?
Let's stay longer. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Adjourned.
Thank you.
So did you hear
I'm sorry, I am deaf right now. I have a terrible head cold,
oh, okay.
And I cannot hear it.
That they're expecting to drop the AV authorization this week.
No, I didn't see that.
Have it passed by
Thanksgiving. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah. One of us can build a title line, so it's all